So welcome to the Bloggers Mastermind Group. And so I want to start off by talking a little bit about our health. And I know you might be thinking, what has that got to do with blogging? But it has everything to do with our business as we're creating our businesses. And so Debbie is in that lane with Melaleuca and also with her homesteading. She's all about health and wellness and being organic and just taking better care of ourselves. And the paragraph that jumped out at me, or the story that jumped out at me when I was searching and building my website, was, and I've quoted this before, but it's the quote about the Dalai Lama. And I'm going to just read it exactly the way he quoted it. And it makes so much sense. It says, when asked what surprised him about humanity the most, the Dalai Lama replied, man, because he sacrifices his health in order to make money. Then he sacrifices money to recuperate his health. And then he is so anxious about the future that he does not enjoy the present, the result being that he does not live in the present or in the future. He lives as if he's never going to die. And then he dies having never really lived. So that kind of gobsmacked me when I read that. And I, because early on, and we've talked a lot in the mastermind about, our lane and what our overarching, message is, and health and wellness was a piece of mine, but everything else I do has to do with, passive income and creating a freestyle life. And so I was going to drop the health and fitness lane because I thought, that doesn't really go with the rest. But then when I ran across that quote from the Dalai Lama, I thought, oh, it not only goes with the rest, it's the first step. It's the most important part. And I don't know if you gals remember me telling the story when I decided that I was going to retire from the salon industry. I actually had a coach, and Debbie, you'll remember him. Remember when Cardiff Hall came to Carrie's fellowship meeting one Thursday morning, and Cardiff was just this natural speaker.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, someday, maybe I'll be like Cardiff. And Debbie and I, we were both, our chins were on the table because we were like, who is this guy? Because he came in from another state. And so Carrie had him up on stage. And I think he introduced Carrie that day and, all that. But anyway, I hired Cardiff to be my coach at the end of my salon career because I was really struggling with making that transition. And so I want all of us to kind of think about this, and we're going way, way back to the basics. But when you go all the way back to the basics, Cardiff asked me, he goes, why do you want to quit the salon industry? Because you've created this and you've got 5 salons and it's working and you're making money. And, why do you want to quit? And I said, well, I want to spend more time with the grandkids. And he said, well, yeah, but he said, if you're at your house and one of your nail customers shows up and says, hey, can you do my nails today? Because I told him, I said, I'm having a hard time saying no to my customers, because, and he says, well, your why isn't strong enough. And I said, what do you mean? And he goes, well, what would you tell him? I said, well, I want to spend more time with my grandkids. And he said, yeah, but they show up and they say, well, your grandkids aren't here right now. Why can't you do my nails? I said, okay, I want to spend more time with Mark. He said, same thing. They show up and say, well, Mark's not here right now. He's out flying his airplane. Why can't you do my nails while you're waiting for Mark to come home? And I said, okay. I said, I want to travel more. He said, you answered the door. You're not traveling right now. Why can't you do my nails? And I'm like, oh, so I'm like, okay. I said, I just can't do it anymore, Cardiff. I said, my shoulder hurts and my elbow hurts and the doctor's talking about surgery. And he said, now you're getting there. He said, so why do you want to quit? And I said, well, for my health. And he said, now you can stick to that one, because when somebody wants you to do their nails or to do something that's outside of where you're going, he said, you're trying to leave that behind. He says, now your why is strong enough that you'll stick to your guns and you won't backtrack and let somebody suck you into doing something that you've made the decision is not where you're headed. But a lot of your family and friends want to suck you back in to what you've always done for them, or what you've always been to them, or what you represent for them. And they don't want to encourage you to go on to that next level that you're wanting to go on to. So you have to have a super, 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 super strong why. And so I decided not to drop that health piece, because that was my deepest why as to why I was even leaving the salon. I mean, everybody says, well, don't you want to be self-employed? I was self-employed. Don't you want to make your own schedule? I was making my own schedule. You know, don't you want to have more cash? I did have more cash. So why would you leave that? Because of my health. I was, just like this quote with the Dalai Lama, I was spending my health to try to make money. And so I really thought to myself one day, I thought, you know what, I could quit right before all the surgeries, or I could quit right after all the surgeries. So why not quit right before all the surgeries instead of right after all the surgeries? And so anyway, I have been out of the salon business since December of 2017, and I have not had to have a surgery yet. Now, I'm not saying that I won't, because that, you know, I have moderate to severe rheumatoid, and I've got, my shoulder has flared up here recently. And so there may be some surgeries in my future, but I'm not going to be stressed like I would have been had I had 12 hour a day nail clients. What happens if the doctor put me in surgery then, and I started losing my clients? Because, you know, they have to, for any of you that have ever worn acrylics, if you don't get them balanced, they fall off and they hurt, and they're terrible. So if I stopped doing my nail clients and said, oh, I can't do you for 8 weeks because I've had surgery. Well, guess what? They're going to go somewhere else. And it's now, you know, what's the likelihood that they're either going to come back or not? They might say to themselves, you know, oh, Kathy's starting to have surgeries. We better stick with this, you know, this younger nail tech over here that's going to do us for a while. Because even when I retired, you know what the biggest question was, or the biggest comment was? Customers didn't say, oh, congratulations, or, oh, I'm sorry to see you go, but I wish you well. You know what the biggest comment was? What am I going to do? Who's going to do my nails?
You.
Because see, it was all about them. Now, of course, the name of my salon was all about you. So I wanted them to think it was all about them. And they did. They stepped into that vision. It was all about them. And they were like, well, what am I going to do? Who's going to do my nails? And that was their biggest concern. It wasn't, oh, sorry, Kathy, that your shoulder's hurting, or, oh, and even I would be sick. I would go to work sick because I had my book so packed that I didn't have any place to move anybody. You know, when you have 12 hours today scheduled and 12 hours tomorrow scheduled, and you don't feel very well today, where are you going to put those people when you've already got 12 hours already scheduled tomorrow? And people would say, Kathy, you're sick. You need to go home and get better right after you do my nails. It wasn't, oh, just reschedule me anytime. You need to take care of yourself. It was, you need to take care of yourself right after you do my nails. So my whole point in that is don't get caught in that where you're not taking care of your health. You've got to put your health at the top of your business model. And so, Sherry, I get it that you slept last night. Good for you. You needed 12 hours of sleep. So good for you. And another thing is, you know, we're sometimes looking for, you know, ways to feel better and be more healthy. And I know I struggle with my weight. I always have. And so there's all kinds of things that you need to get on the agenda. And so I'll say that to say this is I do have that Fit as a Fiddle Plus, and I co-mod with Rita Brewer. And we, so far, all we're doing is a free meetup the fourth Monday of every month at 6 o'clock. But I am getting ready to launch a 30-day challenge. And I know we're all busy and it's hard to, you know, jump into something like that. And so my whole point in creating a 30-day challenge is to make it so that it becomes a lifestyle and not just, you know, a 5-day challenge. And I can do that for 5 days and then it gets put in the back of the closet after that, and you just don't do it again. So I want to make a 30-day challenge so that you can get into a habit over a 30-day period of doing something for your health. And then at the end of that 30 days, hopefully it will continue. Hopefully you've done it long enough that you go, yeah, this is good and I want to continue this. So how many, and I know Debbie does because she's with Melaleuca, and I'm pretty sure Sally does, but how many of us take vitamins and stuff every day? And okay, Sally does, Debbie does. Sherry, do you? Or do you do vitamins every day? Okay. And I want to just go around the room and just ask, what is your regimen for being healthy? Sally, what do you do specifically to be healthy?
I do take several vitamins and collagen, liquid collagen. I found to be very helpful.
All right. Now, what product are you using?
It's I forget the name of it. Starts with an I. Isogenics.
Okay.
I don't think that's it.
Okay, but it's got the liquid collagen.
Yeah.
Okay. I just started the liquid collagen just yesterday, and I've got to do it for 30 days and report back to my provider on if I think that it made a difference in how I feel. Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. But yes, I do some vitamins and I'm doing the liquid collagen as well, because the liquid collagen affects you at a cellular level. And so it will help with my joints, hopefully, that rheumatoid.
Do you put it in the refrigerator because it tastes much better in the refrigerator cold?
I actually have peach tea with a tea bag, and my collagen is peach flavored. Is yours flavored?
Not really, but I keep the bottles in the refrigerator. So it's
mine come in individual packets that I just tear off the top, and I put it in my peach collagen in my peach tea, and it makes it taste better. So
mine's liquid. So yeah, mine's I just liquid. Chug out of the bottle.
Oh, you, okay. I get it. Okay. Hey, whatever works. So anyway,
I gotta develop my magic elixir.
You know, I think it's important that, you know, that we do things like this. And so anyhow, let's go on around. Debbie, how about you? What are you doing on a daily basis?
I take my Peak Performance AM and PM pack, but I also take a few extra, which is, I have my D3, which is, you know, the sun, and I have Activate, which is my vitamin C. And in the D3 is also the zinc, but I also take some extra, it's called Provex Plus, which actually helps me with my restless legs at night. And which I had a long time ago. I don't have it now because I take that. And you know, you're talking about liquid, what do you call it? Liquid
collagen.
What? Collagen. Okay. I like, Melaleuca offers vitamin E, or I'm sorry, fish oil. It's okay. Omega-3. But it's in the flavor of one's an orange sherbet and the other one's a lime. And I keep those in the refrigerator. And it's like liquid yogurt. Okay.
Okay.
And it, there's no taste. I don't have the fish burps, nothing. And I mean, it's like you, Sally, said, I just go to the refrigerator, chug what I think is a tablespoon and go for it. I have a pretty much daily thing. And I also take FiberWise, which is what you also need every day.
Good job. So, you know, it sounds like that it is on our list. And I'm going to go around one more time after this. Sherry, how about you? You take vitamins? What are you taking in the mornings? Or maybe not in the mornings, but what are you taking daily?
I take vitamin D, hormones, because they're prescribed. And when I don't run out of it, I take a vitamin B complex with C. My the other parts of my daily routine aren't just the supplements, but my daily routine is I have to stretch an hour even before I get out of bed. It's just because I need to do that just to be able to move. And then I walk on the treadmill and I try to bring it up to between 3 and 4 miles per hour on the treadmill, at least 10 minutes first thing in the morning. And then I'll go back later and do more. Also part of my morning routine is meditation, devotion, and then just plain reading. Before I have coffee, it's lemon water, and then I'm refilling the same water glass all day long. And I need at least 4 of these a day. And this is like a little bit more than 16 ounces. So I need at least 4 of these a day, preferably 6 to 8, but 4 of these a day. And I can't have coffee unless I have one of these. This is one of my bargains to myself. So
good for you.
So that, and I do try to have a very high protein based, plant-based breakfast. This morning has just been like just too busy, and I probably will be leaving early because I'm going to get hungry soon if this water doesn't do it. So.
Well, if you need to grab something, just grab it and come back. So that'll work as well. We don't mind. So okay. Anyway, I love that. And Sherry has already addressed that a little bit. Are we getting some movement in our day? And Sherry is stretching and then she's walking on the treadmill. And Sally, how about you? Are you getting some movement in your day? Other than
not a lot, not a lot, frankly. I do have a recumbent bike in my office. Right now, my office is full of pictures and things that we've taken off the walls to get ready for painting. We're not doing the painting.
Wow. So you've got the wedding project, the painting project. Okay.
Yeah. Just we decided because we're going to go. I don't know if I told you. You've been here. I mean,
yes.
The walls are pretty light color in the living room and dining room. Well, they're going to be copper kettle color.
Okay.
And blue. And our lower cabinets are going to be blue. Almost the color, almost as
I like darker. It.
Wow.
So it's going to be.
You've been watching HGTV, haven't you, Sarah?
Yes, I have. Yes, exactly where we got that idea. Because we saw it was hometown, I think it was.
Yes, yes.
And they did that exact same thing. And we're going to do the fireplace in blue too.
Okay.
So we thought, well, you know, this place is looking a little, you know, it was fine.
Boring.
Boring. Exactly. It was boring. So it's not going to look boring anymore. But boy, it's taking a lot of work because, you know, you move the sofas from the wall and clean it out under the sofa. And
yes, I get it. I get it.
And so we're traumatizing we're traumatizing our cats. Is what we are. I think they think they're going to move again.
They're like, leave me alone. I like the couch where it was.
Yeah. No, it's a picture. Bitsy, I took a picture. I had a picture about the sofa, a big one, and I took it down and I walked in. She was sitting on the back of the sofa, just kind of pawing at the wall. That picture
like, where'd my picture go? That's too funny. I love it. Well, I have a suggestion. Sherry is getting some movement in. Sally said not quite enough. Debbie, how about you?
Not enough at all.
Here's my latest hack, and I'll share it with you. This is my calendar on my cell phone, and at the very top, I can link some things at the very top of my calendar, so it shows up every single day. And the one that I linked up there is a little YouTube video that I found, and I'll click on it, and all it is, it's just walk a mile in 15 minutes. That's all it is. So I've got to wait here for the ad to pass, and then I'll show it to you. Anyway, it's just walk a mile in 15 minutes.
It's time to walk when I hear that beep. Hi, everybody. This is a new series of walking workouts, but it's more exciting than ever. Guess why? I'll introduce you to our new generation walk leaders.
So you just walk right at your desk. You don't have to go outside. You don't need a treadmill. You just stand up at your desk and
I like it.
Do your mile.
Yeah.
Now
what's it called?
This one, and of course I just jumped out of it again. And I don't remember it, so I have to go to my link in my calendar. It just says walk at home. There's a whole ton of them. Yeah, there's a whole ton of them on YouTube, and you just put, you know, walk a 15 minute mile and, you know, go through some of those and find one that you like. And then I copy and pasted the link at the top of my calendar. So now I don't even have to go to YouTube to find it. I just click the link. It comes right up either on my computer, on my phone, on my tablet, whatever I'm looking at. And I just stand up right at my desk and do my 15 minutes. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. If you do 15 minutes after breakfast, 15 after lunch, and 15 after dinner, you've done a 5K.
Really?
You can walk a 5K every day.
Wow.
And it's just in little bites like that. You don't get sweaty. Not generally. I mean, unless you don't, you know, if it's in the summertime and you don't have your air on or something, you might get a little warm. But it's 15 minutes and she takes you through a slower pace in the one that I picked and raises it up and then does a little cool down. And the whole thing takes 15 minutes and you've done a complete mile in just that 15 minutes. That's 4 miles an hour. Sometimes that's hard to get to on a treadmill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But because
what is the music that she's using?
I don't even know. I just went through several of walk a 15 minute mile videos until I found one that I liked the best. And and this one, if I can give you the numbers, but I don't know if I can post it or not.
If you go into your calendar on your desktop, you should be able to copy and paste it.
If I go into my calendar there, I've got my calendar on my phone. Anyway, just go into YouTube and just Google or just search for a 15 minute mile, exercise and a whole bunch of them will come up and you can find one that you like, and it doesn't really matter which one, because all of them will have music to that beat to get you to a 15 minute mile.
I like that idea.
And you just stand up and do your 15 minutes and then go back to what you were doing. And you know what? You're going to be more productive.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to think clearer. You're going to have some oxygen to the brain and you're just going to have a better day. And at the end of the day, you're going to feel like you did something for yourself. Yeah. And so with that said, I just wanted to talk about that for a moment because I'm getting ready to launch the 30-day challenge. And in the 30-day challenge, it's going to be a mastermind like this, and we're going to meet up. And then what's going to happen is whatever date you join is when your 30 days begin. So it's going to be an ongoing 30-day challenge. So whoever wants to jump in, and you can stay in it for longer than 30 days if you want. But anyhow, that's going to be the whole point, just to try to get, you know, folks.
Sherry, you look like you're sinking.
Sherry, we're losing you.
Her seat is shrinking.
Sherry, are you okay? Oh, I see what she's doing. She's going to use her stand-up desk. So she was moving everything so she can stand up. That was funny because you just went like this. You just started disappearing.
We thought maybe you were shrinking because of this 30-day challenge.
Yeah. And you shrinking.
No. You got that right, girl.
I love it. But so anyway.
This, I'll tell you what, the standing desk has made a difference because I get to that point where I can tell the SI joint is going, you need to move now. So then I'll be up and I'll be able to stand for a few hours and then I'll sit again and stuff. And it's been really helping.
Yes. I have my office, as all of you here know, is in my kitchen. So sometimes I'll just pick up my laptop and go over to the breakfast bar and stand up and work for a while at the breakfast bar. And I can spread my files out if I'm in the middle of a writing project or something, and then I'll come back over and sit at my desk for a while. So I do like that as well. I physically have to move my laptop to do that. I'm not like Sherry where I have a stand up desk right under, you know, over my regular desk. I do have to move over there. But when I'm really in the heat of a moment of writing or doing a big project, I'm using the breakfast bar anyway, because it's a great place to spread out my files. I try to not leave them out there. You know, I try to not like then say, I'm going to pick this project up tomorrow, so I'll just leave all this out on the breakfast bar. I try not to do that, because when Mark comes in, he's like, I don't have any place to even make my sandwich. So anyway, now this morning in Clubhouse, we talked about heart-centered marketing, and I want to talk about customizing your blog post to where you're going to make it a little more heart-centered. Now, what makes it heart-centered? And we were all about that in Clubhouse this morning. Heart-centered is when you're more interested in what your message is than selling something. You have a passion for the topic. It's who you are. It's not what you do. It's who you are. It's not what you do. And so when I'm out there, and Mark, he brought this to my attention, he said, you go into coaching mode. He said, even if that person doesn't have a clue who you are or what you're going to be, or what you sell or what your products are, he said, you always go into coaching mode. He said, because it's just who you are. He said, you're always wanting to help somebody take the next step, no matter where they are or what they're doing. And he said, and you never worry about what's in it for you. And I said, well, that's because I'm passionate about folks moving forward and not getting stuck, whatever it is they're doing and whatever it is they're trying to do or want to do. And so with that said, what really makes it heart-centered, and Sally and I had a great conversation about this in Clubhouse this morning, is that you just weave a piece of your story into your blog post. And again, a great way to weave your story in is to go back, like I've said before, and sometimes we don't see how it applies to everything that we're doing. But when you're blogging, a great way to weave your story in is to either start off with, I remember when I struggled with that, and I discovered that here's a great solution, and I want to share it with you today in my blog. So I remember when is a great way. Once upon a time, and Debbie and Sally have both used the once upon a time method before, you know, once upon a time, here's where I was, but then. And so you can do that all the time, in no matter, you know, what you're writing, weave part of your experience and your story, because now it becomes who you are and not what you're just talking about or selling. And so Sally did a great job when she did her blog post, when she was telling her actual story. And then Debbie has woven her story into some of her blog posts. And Sherry, a lot of times in your blog post, you're talking about a topic, but can you share a time when you've actually woven your story into your blog post? And again, I have to admit, I don't have your blogs right in front of me. And how many do you have up now, Sherry?
How many do I have up? I have about 10 on this website. And I grabbed 40 when we were closing the old website. So I have 40 that I have in a bank to use again in the future. I've been talking a lot about the hero's journey in my blog posts, and really trying to emphasize. And most people that my target audience have never even heard of the hero's journey. So talking about that and talking about how it applies to their life as the guide in the hero, in the journey, because the idea here is that we as the teachers and the therapists are the guides and the kid is the hero. And how do we get that, unleash that potential in that child? So that's where I'm taking it from, is more like instructing the teacher in how to be the guide.
I love that.
Rather than telling my story directly. So I'm using the hero's journey method and utilizing the guide and expounding on how that works.
That's a great way to make it very heart-centered, because again, it lets the teacher focus on the student as being the hero, which is what makes it totally heart-centered. And so it all comes down to how I can help you make someone else look good, which is the whole point. You know, we want to make our clients look better and our clients want to make their clients look better, because Sherry, when you're talking to teachers, you're more on a business to business type relationship there, because there is an end customer or an end consumer, which would be the student, whomever that student is. And so you're kind of on a business to business there. So I can see where that would, with what you're doing, would actually relate really well to the teachers. Are you getting a good response from that?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It depends on how I share my blog post.
Okay.
I'm getting better at being consistent at doing that. I'm also getting better at consistently getting them published. It was a little traumatic with the changes in personnel in the last month or so, right. But things are moving along, and I have till the end of this month to get my textbook piece written. So I've been doing a lot of getting stuff checked off my list so I can really concentrate on getting the two books done.
Okay.
Both of them are giving me they're due at the end of the month. So
it's been, and that date keeps getting closer and closer, doesn't it, Sherry?
Yeah. So I've been really concentrating on that, and my blog post I really started focusing on that because I have a bigger project in the works.
I get it. Can you, just for the consistency sake, can you schedule some of those older blog posts to come out like once a week or something like that, and just automate that?
I would like to. Michael and I have been figuring out how we're going to repost them. So we're working on it. It's my day to think about that has been Tuesdays. And so I believe today there's another blog post going up, but I like the fact that I can write and dump it.
Yeah.
Not have to think about it again. So
I get it.
I know everybody else is still going through all the process, but I'll tell you, this whole thing, I'm getting to the point where if I can write it, not have to think about it again, I appreciate that so much better.
Well, and that way, again, it can be consistent. Now, I have enough blog posts out there on my blog that I've published, but some of them are a year or two old because I started a year or two ago doing my blog post. You can recycle some of those. You don't have to rewrite the blog post. All you have to do is go open it up again and copy that first paragraph and put it out across your social media, because most people aren't really looking at the dates. They're looking at the content. So when I Google something and search for something on the internet, I'm trying to think of something that I Googled recently. And like all of these articles come up where folks have written blogs about it. I can't tell you any of the dates. I might be able to tell you who wrote it, but I know the topic because I'm after the content. I'm looking something up and I'm after the content.
I just saw one this morning that was posted like earlier this year, and it says original posting was 2016. So all they did was let you know when the original was, and they reposted the same blog post.
Yeah. So my point is if you get into a pickle, you can certainly recycle your blogs. You do not have to think I have to have something new and fresh this week and next week and the week after, and 52 weeks from now, I still have to be cranking out new and fresh. You can recycle, because somebody that read your blog post 2 years ago, they're not going to remember it. Now, you might even want to revisit it and change it a little bit. Maybe you have more information and you could make it a new blog post by just editing one that you wrote 2 years ago and leave that one still in your library, but maybe update it to include an additional paragraph or include additional, you know, how-tos or whatever your blog was about. And you could actually, you know, repurpose an older blog and actually publish it again as a new blog. Does that make sense? So that's how you're going to customize your site, but you have to have a series of blogs to make it look like something. And the other day, gosh, who was I talking to? I think it was one of my girls on Clubhouse, and she was trying to come up with her overarching message. And she said, well, here's what I do. I do this and this and this and this. And she named about five things. And I said, well, let's take a 30,000 foot view and try to get an overview of your overarching message. And so I said, well, I see you as having a purpose. And one of the things, one of her catchphrases is, you're worth it. And that, you know, like I always say, simply start. Hers is, you're worth it. You need to do this, this, and this, and you're worth it. And I have a course to show you how to do this, this, and this, because you're worth it. And I said, you could have a whole community and you could name it somewhere around that phrase, you're worth it. So we just started Googling you're worth it to see what would come up on the internet, because we didn't want to step on anybody's toes if somebody had already actually trademarked that phrase or trademarked a business with that name or had a publication with that name. And so we were just Googling to see what was out there under you're worth it. And there was this blog post that came up, and the name of the blog was You're Worth It. And she and her, my gal, her heart sank, because she was like, oh, she goes, there it is. Somebody already took it. You're worth it. And she said, there goes my blog post idea. And, but we looked, and guess what? The girl created the blog back in 2014 or something like that. And it had like no post. All it was the girl's picture and her about page. She hadn't written anything, and it's just hanging out there. And so again, I told my gal, I said, well, I said, you need to tweak up the name a little bit. You can't use the exact same name. I said, but I don't think this girl's going to be any competition. She hasn't written anything since 2014, and maybe she's getting started. You know, maybe she's getting started to get started, you know, maybe she's getting ready to get ready and just have it, you know, she grabbed the name and got her platform set up, but she hasn't really posted anything in it.
That's funny.
So anyway, repurpose. The whole point is you've got to get some content out there to get your blog post branded that it's you. And whenever you Google something on the internet to look something up, the majority of the time, what's come, all those articles that you click on and you go, oh, here's an article on what I'm looking for. Those are all just blog posts. They're all just where somebody has written a blog post or an editorial or an article for a medical journal. You know, if you're Googling a medical term, you know, you're just getting articles that somebody wrote. That's their opinion. Now they might inside their article, they might put where they got their information and why they feel their information is correct and accurate, because they maybe show where their research was inside their article. But nevertheless, you're just looking at a bunch of blog posts. So get out there and be the professional. Customize your blog so where you can be the professional in your lane. You want to be, think about yourself. And again, until you tell yourself this, you don't really step into it or live into it. But tell yourself, I am the go-to for this information. I am the go-to person for this information. And Sherry is really niched down. So again, that's why she's being honored. that's exactly why, because she is the professional in that phrase. Whenever you think of her topic, you think of Sherry, because that's what she does. That's who she is. And so that's where we want to come. We want to make sure that we are the go-to person for our overarching message.
Kathy, where did you find that quote you read from the Dalai Lama?
You know, I don't know. And here's what I was doing. I was searching something about coaching at the time. This was way back early on. I was just Googling all about, you know, if I want to be a coach, what does that look like? And there was another coach who quoted the Dalai Lama. And I was like, wow. And it was very impactful to me. And it wasn't until I read it on a blog post. It was just a coach was blogging about his coaching services. And he said how this quote impacted him. And as I read his blog post, it made me go look up the quote, because he hadn't quoted it exactly. And I'm a firm believer that if you're going to quote something or you know, refer back to somebody else's material, that you need to do it exactly the way they did it. And yeah, Sherry says search quotes by author. And so once I saw this one from the Dalai Lama, I did go back and search for this exact quote because I wanted to use it, but I wanted to use it exactly the way he said it.
What was that one in particular called? Was there a name, a title for that one?
I don't know.
Let's... And how do you spell his name?
it's D-A-I-A-I, oh. Lama. D-A-I-A-I-L-A-M-A. And if I just highlight the quote and copy it and Google that, this one came out of goodreads.com quotes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They have good stuff.
Yeah. So that's where, and then there's one here, habits for well-being, use the quote. And then I'm in there, Freestyle Living by Kathy Benner, Audio Boom, use the quote. So if you Google the quote, I come up.
There you go. Thank you for sharing that.
So anyway, so that's my point is, you know, once you have your message, you've got to be consistent and you've got to step into the fact that you are the authority on that topic. That is your topic. And mm-hmm. so just rally around that and then get consistent with your blogs. And if again, we all get busy, I get it. But try to maybe, if you have some downtime, try to download some PLR stuff into your word processor, save it, you know, maybe download 10 different articles and save them. And then, you know, as you have time, go in and make them your own. And start with your story, you know, I don't know about you, but as for me, or I remember when, see, now you're making them heart-centered, or, you know, like Sherry using the hero's journey to show teachers how they are the hero and how the student is, or how they are the guide and the student is the hero. And so as you start tweaking that and you've got some material to work with, see, then you can start putting your blogs together, even on a back channel on your word processor or a Word document or wherever, a Google Doc, wherever you like to write, and get a little library going back there. And so then when you're having a really crazy busy week, all you have to do is copy and paste that over into your and publish it. And it's so much faster than sitting down to a blank page going, oh, I got to write a blog today. What am I going to write about? You know, and start to be intentional. You're going to customize this blog. Start to be a little intentional. Start with a series of blogs that are maybe taking people from point A to point B. Like over the next 10 weeks, I'm going to show you how to do this, or we're going to talk about this. Or over the next 5 weeks or whatever, but come up with a plan and be intentional. Like when I decided to go on to Clubhouse, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to open up Clubhouse every Monday morning and I'm going to go, what am I going to talk about? So what I did, and believe it or not, it's just a blog post. I Googled how to create a heart-centered business and online community. And a blog came up and there was a series of topics that this blogger talked about. And so guess what? I printed it off. I got two pages. I printed it off and I put a date to each topic. And that's what we talk about on Clubhouse.
Jeez.
I just Googled how to create a heart-centered business and online community. A blog post came up with 14 topics in the blog. I simply printed it off. And so the topics are prepping. Number two, believe in yourself and your calling. Number three, balance and mindset. Number four, fear and perfection. Number five, organizing ideas and trusting your intuition. Number six, website and email list. And again, this is all about how to create a heart-centered business. Number 7, blog, newsletter, podcast. Number 8, growing multiple sources of income. Number 9, heart-centered marketing. Number 10, social media. Number 11, pricing and hiring. You see how it goes. And so now every Monday when I go on, I'm not sitting there going, oh my gosh, did we talk about that already? Are we talking about, you know, because I now have a map to follow. And all I did is I printed off someone else's blog post to give myself an outline. And I'm simply using their blog post as an outline. Now, I'm not using any of their material. I'm not teaching their blog. I'm not stealing any of their stuff. I just printed off the outline of the blog because I just wanted an outline for topics to talk about. Now, you see how easy that is, but you have to have some intention on where you're going. And so the best way to do that is with an outline. I like to speak with an outline. I like to blog with an outline. I like to do my marketing with an outline. And all of that has to do with being heart-centered, and it's who you are, not what you do. All right, comments. How can I help you go forward with your blog post and get recognized as the professional in your lane? And don't forget, we have our speakers bureau, and I haven't officially started marketing that because I need 20 folks before I can start marketing. And last I looked, oh, I can't wait to see. I've got 2 more to add today, by the way. Find my list here. When I view our list, I have Skip Bailey. I have Carmela Banks. Debbie, is that where you found Carmela? Is on our...
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I know her from the masterminds and that, but that's where it rang a bell.
And so that's 2. Laura Bender, she is a fitness guru. She's 3. I'm on there. I'm 4. Kyle is all about real estate. He's 5. Rita Brewer is a health and lifestyle expert, is 6. Jessica Butler is an author and speaker. She's 7. Sherry is on there as an international speaker, author, and consultant. She's 8. Anthony Friesna is an international speaker and author. He's 9. Teresa Frogart, she was on this morning, Sally, with us. She's 10. Christy Hawkins is a real estate agent and mortgage originator, is 11. Ilya Kavukas, I think I said that right. She's a holistic health and wellness coach. She's 12. And Debbie, you're on there as 13. And Adam Messmer is mortgage. He's 14. Ruth Pierce is on there. Coach and speaker is 15. And Lawrence is a photographer, is 16. Sally is 17. And Mason is 18. So we are so close to launching. So close.
Sherry typed in Jonna Lee. Is she on there?
Put Jonna Lee on there. She's good.
Okay, now, I can send Jonna Lee the link. Do you have her email?
Yeah, JonnaLee's@gmail.com.
You said that way too fast for me. I must be slow this morning.
Are you typing it in the chat? So anyhow, there is also
Jonna Lee at Minds on Math.
Okay. There is a free version to the speakers and coaches and authors cabinet, but then there's also 2 paid versions. The professional level is you get the listing and we promote you. The expert level, you get it in at which Jonna Lee probably doesn't need this, but it's how to create your own masterclass. It's a how-to. You get that, and you get your own room in our clubhouse club. And then the master level is you get all of the other stuff. Plus you get to be on immediately on podcast. So there's 3 levels. And so it's the free level, the $12 a month, or the $25 a month. So it depends on which level or how much you want to be a speaker. Some folks, the speaking is an incidental, they're not wanting to be an actual speaker, but they will speak if they can share their products and services. And so then there are those that they're trying, they want to be a speaker and they want to position themselves on the stage, or whether it be virtual or in person. Anyway, I'm invited on two more podcasts this week to share my message. So yeah, be careful pushing that rock up the hill, girls, because once it tops the hill,
it just grows.
Yes. So you've got to get your systems in place as you're going up the hill. Work out the bugs. Sherry's tweaking and changing. And you know, she's got this vision and she's growing, her business is growing into this vision that she has for it. And you know, and Sally, gosh, Sally, I love watching you and the trips she's got planned, and it's amazing. It's wonderful. I love it. I love it. And now in our local circle, anytime I mention travel or anybody, even on the Facebook group where I have a lot of folks that are local, as soon as somebody says, hey, anybody know travel? They're like 20 people say, Sally, 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 Sally. She's like the number one name in the thread. And so it just does my heart good to see that she now, see, she's embodying what it is she does. It's not, you know, it's who she is. It's who she is. And people recognize it for who she is. And so anyway, once we reach our number here in the Speakers Bureau, I'm probably going to launch. Are you girls ready for this? I'm probably going to launch a group on Facebook if people need a guest. That they can go there and say, I need a guest who, and I can feature a different speaker continuously through that Facebook group if somebody needs a guest.
And honestly, if you go on the coach's call with Daphne and you mention that you're doing that, you're going to get so many coaches from Carrie's program going, I'll be there, because that was the topic of conversation at the last coaching call.
Yeah. And I missed the last coaching call because I was on a phone call with Oprah.
I was on a
phone call with Oprah. So there.
what?
Were you not? Really, Oprah?
Really, Oprah?
Yeah, really, Oprah.
Like yes, a one-on-one like call?
No, I was a group like this, and we were all on a Zoom call, and she called me out. She was like, Kathy Benner, what do you think about? And I'm like, what? Let me get my teeth back in my mouth before I try to talk. Yeah.
So what was the purpose of the call?
She has an insider group, kind of like my mastermind. You girls are in my insider group. She has an insider group, and you have to pay to be in her insider group. And again, I will make my story more personal, which is what, you know, more heart-centered, which is what I'm trying to share you gals to do. But back in the day, we had to write down a boon, a B-O-O-N, yes. And it was something in our mindset. And Debbie, I think you were at that conference, and we had to, it was in a workbook, and we were supposed to write down our boon, which was something that we wanted to work toward, but our mindset currently wouldn't allow us to even imagine that we could do it. Like a boon might be something that's unimaginable. And a boon might be like, I'm going to go to the moon someday. Well, you know, probably not. But if that were my boon, and that were my vision and my goal, the point is that once you identify it, you start positioning yourself wherever you see an opportunity to get closer to it. Mm-hmm. So once you identify your boon, you start positioning yourself to get closer to it. That's huge. Let's say your boon is to be, and Debbie, you've talked about this several times, that you had a dream and you were walking down the hall and you opened the door and here's an auditorium full of women and you were the speaker. Sherry says her boon is nonprofit. So Debbie, every time you have the opportunity to be a stage in-person stage speaker, you should probably say yes, because the more often you go through that door, every time you have the opportunity, it's more likely that someday you're going to open that door to that size audience that you had envisioned. Mm-hmm. So every time you see an opportunity, you should say yes, if it is in the direction of your boon. Well, my boon at that time was I wanted to have a one-on-one conversation with Oprah. And I'm thinking, I'm going to call him and, hey, girl, what's going on? You know, what's up? How you doing today? Yeah. I'm thinking that she's going to say, Kathy, who?
And I can just hear that.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, she probably wouldn't say Kathy, who. It would be part of her entourage, which would say, click, you know, who are you, you know, to keep her safe, because they don't have a clue who I am. So anyway, she had presented this insider type group, and her whole goal in the insider type group is to have basically an online mastermind, you know, with a few of her new 200 best friends, you know, that paid to be in her insider track. I took the opportunity to be, you know, to join that, you know, and that's another thing too, you know, put your money where your mouth is. If it's where you're going with your business, don't be afraid to invest in yourself. And so I joined her insider track, was on several calls, and she randomly picks 12 people to be on what she calls on stage. And for any of you that have been in a webinar, Zoom webinar, instead of an actual Zoom meeting like this, in the webinar, you're all in the chat only room,
right?
Kind of in the chat room, and only who the speaker or moderator lets in the screen is considered on stage. Well, she will let 12 people on stage each call, because there's like 200 in the room and everyone else is in the chat room. And so I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to show up. I'm going to be consistent. It all goes with showing up and being consistent. And I'm just going to show up and I'm going to be consistent. And I finally got into the 12 that would show, and everyone else could only communicate by chat. And then she would just go around those 12 folks. And that would be the people that she's masterminding with. Those would be the folks that she would have the topic and a speaker. And then she would say, you know, Sherry, tell us what you think about that topic. Or Sally, what is your thoughts on that last comment that was made? And, you know, and finally she was like, Kathy Benner. And I'm like, whoa. And so I'm like, okay, first of all, I can't talk now. So I'm all tongue tied. But anyway, I did fine. And so I actually had a chat with Oprah in a virtual mastermind group online inside her insider track. So that's what it is.
And what was her response to what you said?
When I said what?
That
I
don't you remember? Because you were so tongue-tied.
She just laughed at me. She just laughed at me. But she's very easy to talk to. I mean, it's just like us on this call. She's just, you know, she's not pretentious at all. And if she gets tongue-tied, she even says, I don't know what to say to that. You know, I mean, she's just very authentic and down to earth and very easy to talk to. And so I don't know that I'll always get chosen, because I think she wants to rotate that around, you know, to give everybody a chance for their voice to be heard. But that was my boon in 2015.
Oh, woo-hoo, congratulations.
Wow. So anyway, and again, the only reason it's a big deal is because it was my boon in 2015. Most of the gals on there was probably thinking, so I talked to Oprah, so what? But it was my boon, so yeah. So anyhow, once you pick your boon, and that was the whole point. The whole point was, once you pick your boon, which is where you want to kind of, you know, something out here that you don't think really could happen, then you just start positioning yourself to make it more likely every time an opportunity comes up. So when I saw that Oprah had started an insider, I immediately joined for that reason, because I thought, well, I'm never going to have a conversation with Oprah if she's never heard of me. So if I want to have a conversation with Oprah, and that's my boon, I should at least get into her audience.
Do you think that they go through and research the people that are in part of that, or that are participating?
I'm sure they do before they let them on stage, because she doesn't need some, you know, psychopath in the middle of her stage, because she has a lot at stake. And, you know, so I'm sure there is a certain level of security around that. Plus, I'm sure she's got a whole production team. Whereas when I do one of these calls, I'm watching the audience, I'm moderating, I'm muting, I'm doing it all. I'm sure she's got a whole production team that if somebody even started to say something wrong, they would be, you know, they would be muted and out the door. So, yeah, I think there's some tight reins on that for her, only because, you know, the bigger you become, the more responsibility you have, you know, because all of a sudden, you know, I'm talking, you know, there's five of us on this call. She probably had 200. And then how many other people are going back and re-listening to those, you know, to those replays? And a lot of folks, you know, they take everything she says, you know, at face value. Yeah. So she's got a huge responsibility to do the right thing for all the right reasons. And the bigger we are, the bigger our responsibility comes, you know, that we have to do all the right things for the right reasons and be careful that we don't steer somebody incorrectly. And again, we can only do the best we can do, but we do have to keep that in mind. So with that said, I am going to mention one more thing before we go today. And that is, if you do not have a privacy notice and a terms and conditions disclaimer on the bottom of your website or the bottom of your blog platform, please add that. Privacy notice and terms and conditions. The terms and conditions say things like, you know, if you're spending your money with me and one of my links don't work, it's not guaranteed, but please contact me and I'll fix it for you. Those kinds of things. And that, you know, I don't promise a particular monetary result. Somebody might say, Kathy, I took your Happy House Hunters group and it said, and I did everything you said, and I don't have 30 doors like you, so I'm suing you because it didn't work for me. See, so you've got to have some safeguards in place there. And so please feel free, if you go clear to the bottom of the KathyBinner.com, and click on my privacy notice and terms and conditions. All it is a page on my website that I've then hidden from the menu. So you can't go to the menu and find it because I didn't want to fill up my menu with that, but it is a link in the bottom in my footer of my, so that no matter what page you're on, it comes up in the footer of my website. And then when you click on it, it simply goes to that page and you can read it. Well, feel free to steal it if you need to and then tweak it and make it your own. Make sure you take, you know, my company name out and put yours in, but you're welcome to use that. And I don't say that to everybody. That's just for my inside. This is my insider group. I'm like Oprah. I have an insider group. So if you girls need a formula or a template for a privacy notice or terms and conditions, please feel free to use mine. I don't mind.
Thanks, Kathy.
All right. Questions, comments? Are we more inspired to get our blogs out there?
Yes.
Yeah. Because again, once I start publishing the speakers page and people need a guest, you could be getting some calls. Make sure you have your message, perfect your message. And again, your story is your marketing. Don't be nervous. Just remember everything you've learned in the Build a Better Business and in the bloggers group. Your storytelling is your marketing. Your serving is your selling. All you need to do is show up on those podcasts or wherever and just tell your story. And make it heart-centered and that you just are offering these services to the community. Make it simple. Don't overthink it. Don't feel like you have to sit down and write a speech. Get your media kits ready. A picture, a paragraph as to why your message is important, a one paragraph bio, and 10 questions that you want someone to ask you. And let me give you another clue on speaking. Anybody get really nervous about speaking up in front of a group? Who gets nervous about speaking up in front of a group? Okay. You want to know a perfect way? When you're on a podcast, you're probably not as nervous, especially if you had your media kit, because they're going to ask you your questions that you sent over to them. take someone with you on a speaking gig and simply have them interview you on stage.
Well, that was simple.
It's the same media kit. Debbie, why is your message important? What made you decide that you wanted to get into this? Debbie, what, tell us about your legacy dreams. Tell, you know, it's just your questions.
Dang.
You get two chairs. You put a little end table in between you with a little pot of a little plant on it. And you're just having a conversation with the person in the other chair. The fact that there's a live audience sitting there watching you is immaterial.
Hmm.
What do you think of that as a speaking hack?
Well, when you put it that way.
Sounds like a great idea.
Look how easy that is. You don't need a podium. You don't need a PowerPoint. You don't need, you know, to be sweating. You just go out and sit in a chair with your cup, and Sally and I are just having a conversation. Sally, tell us, how did you get started? What was going on before you got into the travel business? What made you decide you wanted to be a travel? I'm just interviewing her off of her own questions. All right, ladies, I think you're ready. And if anybody needs anybody to interview them, I'll volunteer. I'd love to come wherever you have a speaking gig. I'd be happy to be the person on stage, you know, asking you your questions.
Right. As long as Mark's still going to take me on a plane ride afterwards.
He'll probably do that. Not a problem. He's always looking for an excuse to be in the air.
I don't blame him.
Well, they need to go.
Yes. So anyway, you see how all of this is fitting together. It's the whole thing. So Sally, thank you so much. You've been very patient.
Hi, Sally.
She's been on all morning. So, all right. See you soon. Okay. Any comments? And I see Elise jumped in and joined us. Any comments so far from anyone?
I thought it was extremely helpful that you were just speaking about how easy it can be to do speaking gigs and things like that. Mm-hmm. I know I for sure, you know, you're just not comfortable with that just because you just don't know. It's never as simple as 1, 2, 3. It's always like, okay, I got to figure out how to do this. I need to do a little research on this. So those pointers definitely helped.
Uh-huh.
I think the biggest thing for me definitely is just being so nervous in general. And it's not that, you know, you have something important to say. It's just like, okay, and there's 10 people who have no idea, and I just need to make sure that they're understanding our point. So I appreciate how easy it can be, especially having that story and having those questions already pre-planned and written. Thank you.
Well, and that is exactly right, Elise. It's really, I think sometimes we overthink it and we think it's going to be crazy, crazy busy to try to do this. But even in my Toastmasters group, we had a guy, a little fella that was just petrified to get up and talk in Toastmasters. And that's why he joined Toastmasters, because he thought this is going to force me to get over this, you know. And you could tell he was just sweating bullets to get up there. He was shaking. He was so nervous. And finally, I'm the one that suggested, I said, can I just interview him? And they're like, okay. And so we didn't have, you know, the chairs and the table with the plant and all that. We were standing up in front of this group of Toastmasters, and everybody there is your friend, but he was that scared to speak. And so I just went up next to him and I kind of put my arm around him a little bit, you know, and he calmed down. And then I just started asking him questions, you know, in a very conversational interviewing kind of way, you know, like, thank you so much for being here today. And, you know, how did you decide that you wanted to, you know, to present this topic? And then see, he got comfortable because he went back inside his story, you see, because it's his story. So he went back inside his story and he was like, well, I remember when I was 10, when I was in school and this happened and that, and see, and so all of a sudden, see, now we had a starting point because I had circled him back into his story. So start with your story. That's why that hero's journey over in the Build a Better Business is so important, that you know your story and how you've become the guide now. And so all you're going to do is in an interview, you're just going to have a list of questions. And so if you don't have anyone interviewing you and they're saying, no, that's not how we do it here. We just want you to stand up and present. All you have to do is answer your own questions. See, you don't have to write a big speech. Just answer your own questions that you have on your media kit. So I do encourage everyone to have a media kit. Sherry, you have your media kit? Yep. Debbie, you have your media kit? Yep. No? Okay, you need to have your media kit. And I know this is something
do that.
And this is something new for Elise. So Elise, you're welcome to, again, visit kathybinner.com, go to my contact page, you'll see my media kit button, you're welcome to look at it. But your media kit consists of a picture that people can use if they're going to advertise the event or the podcast or whatever, a bio, a one paragraph bio of yourself, a paragraph telling why your message is so important, and 10 questions you want people to ask you.
Okay. I guess I'll put that on my to-do list.
Yeah. So Kathy, here's another thought is I've written one theme for the entire year. So every time I go out and speak in 2022, the title of my presentation is Taking the Mask Off Dysgraphia. So I'll be saying the same thing all year long, no matter who the audience is, Taking the Mask Off Dysgraphia. And then I have my bullet points and I have the talking off to, you know, I switch it up depending on who my audience is.
Mm-hmm. And my go-to speech is, what is your freedom number? Yeah. And that's my go-to speech. So no matter, so if somebody called me today and said, oh my gosh, Kathy, it's 1:25 and we're supposed to go on live at 1:30 and our speaker just canceled. Can you come on at 1:30 and take their place? Okay. 5 minutes from now, I can say, okay, because I already have my speech. My go-to speech is, what is your freedom number?
That's the way to do it. And then next year, it'll be something different.
Could be, depends on the audience. But as I grow my topics, see, now when I put together, because now the next step, once you have your media kit, you're getting speaking gigs. But once you have a few and you start going through and developing topics that you can talk about, now you're going to have a speaker's page. You're going to have a speaker's page. Oh. And the speaker's page is going to show your different topics. That. So now when folks look, and so if they go to my speakers bureau on my website and click on me as a speaker, it goes to my speaker's page. So feel free to do that. Go click on mine. It goes to my speaker's page, and then my speaker's page also has my media kit. So so you can see what that looks like. And it's just my different topics, and it goes right in line with all my topics on my homepage of my website, and it goes right in line with all my topics that's on my Teachable platform that I'm teaching from. It's all the same stuff.
So when they look at your speaker page, then they can say, would you talk about this? And so they can do that.
They can see if it fits their venue. For example, let's say that it's a health and wellness symposium. Yeah. And they run across on my homepage where I say that whole Dalai Lama quote, which they go, oh, okay, so this girl's about health. So then they go and they find me as a speaker and they click on my speakers page. And one of my topics is Fit as a Fiddle Plus.
Oh, gotcha.
So they can go, aha, yeah. So then they, when they contact me, they can say, we're a health and wellness symposium or summit, and we want you to be one of our speakers. And we see that you have something to bring to the table, that you have a topic on that. But let's say it's a real estate convention, you know, and they run across me in the Happy House Hunters and they go to my speakers page. And now there's a whole topic on what is your freedom number in real estate? How do you find it? How do you fix it? How do you flip it? How do you fill it? How do you fund it? You know, and finally, what is your freedom number? So I have a whole speech on that. So you see where I'm going with that. You'll build your repertoire after a while. You'll kind of build your topics. And so that way, whoever is looking for a speaker can see if there's something in, and then I've got the whole build a better business. Well, this could just be a business symposium for entrepreneurs. And they might say, Kathy, we want you to speak because it's all about creating your VPS, your storytelling, your serving, your, you know, see, I've got a whole speech on that.
Hmm. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And you'll build that. So just work on one at first. Just work on one. And if you're going to work on one, my suggestion, if you have a process that you're taking your clients through, like I want my clients to be healthy, and then I want them to find something that they're passionate about to create passive income. And so the first topic I perfected was the health one, because that's where I wanted to get that in writing and get it onto my website first. Because again, that's the process when I take my clients through step by step.
Okay.
And Debbie, I've heard you speak. You're good. And then, thank you. And then when you told your story, when we did that interview on the Fireside Chat, oh my gosh, that was amazing. And so just take pieces of your story and create your talks from there.
Yes, you did talk about that once, and I did write the notes down.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the reminder.
So anyway, so that's an easy way, because it's your story. And see, again, my example with my little fella at Toastmasters, once I steered him back into, you know, his story from the starting point, he totally relaxed and he just started talking about when he was 10 years old. And that was heartfelt. Everybody connected with him. Everybody in the audience was going, "Aw, poor little guy," because they're picturing this little 10-year-old being bullied, you know, and how he overcame that and how he wants to inspire kids today to overcome being bullied. But he didn't know how to get, he was so nervous giving that talk. But once I took him back into his story, he was fine. And so once, and anytime you're nervous up in front of a group, go back to your story.
Okay. All right.
I love it.
Thanks.
I love it, love it, love it. All right, guys. Sherry, I will see you later tonight at 8:30 on your advisory board call. I'm on Sherry's advisory board. And each of us need to have an advisory board, by the way. If you go to my website, kathybennercompanies.com, you will actually see my advisory board. I have a whole page of my advisory board members. So each of us need to have an advisory board. So anytime you get into a pickle and somebody wants you to twist your arm, you can say, "I think that's a wonderful idea. Let me check with my advisory board."
I like that.
That board has saved me more than a few times. More.
I love it. I love it. All right, guys. We'll see everybody next time.
Okay.
All right.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.